राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे इज द ऑस्पिशियस डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्रील गौरीदास पंडित एंड श्रील रूप गोस्वामी। सो वी विल ट्राई टू डिस्कस something about these two great acharyas in our line, especially about Rupa Goswami. There is so much to say, therefore it will not be possible to speak adequately in glorification, but nonetheless in the time given one will try to accommodate as much as possible. The Gauda Ganudesha Deepika explains about Gauridas Pandit. Sabalo yah priya shreshtha sa Gauridas Panditaha. Gauridas Pandit, the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was actually Subal, the cowherd boy in Krishna Leela. One of the Dwadasha Gopalas, one of the 12 original cowherd boys in the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. As you know, all the devotees who appeared in Mahaprabhu's Leela also had their role to play in Krishna's Vraja Leela. So Gauridas Pandit appeared as Subal Sakha appeared as Gauridas Pandit in Mahaprabhu's Leela. He lived at a village called Shaligram near Mayapur, and subsequently he moved to Ambika Kalna. We are all familiar with this place, Ambika Kalna, because of the famous pastime of the deities of God Nityananda that took place over there. He was the fourth of six sons, and his father and mother were both great devotees of Lord Krishna. His elder brother was Suryadas Sarakhela. Suryadas Sarakhela's two daughters, Vasudha and Janava, were given in marriage to Lord Nityananda. So therefore Gauridas Pandit was the uncle of Janava Mata, and he was in the status of somewhat a father-in-law to Nityananda Prabhu. So therefore we can see that the very, very special position. Nonetheless, Gauridas Pandit was a great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, even though he was senior to him by worldly standards, but he was a very, very great follower and devotee of Nityananda Prabhu especially. This is mentioned in both the Chaitanya Bhagavat and also the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gauridas Pandit was also the spiritual master of Hriday Chaitanya, who was the spiritual master of Shyamananda Prabhu. So therefore Gauridas Pandit had this connection also to Vrindavan, because his grand disciple Shyamananda Prabhu was so intimately associated with Vrindavan. Today the temple in which Gauridas Pandit worshipped his deities of God Nityananda, the temple is still there today. And apart from the deities of God Nityananda, there is also a deity of Jagannath and Balaram, also a deity of Sitaram, and along with that there is Gauridas Pandit's own deity worshipped by his successors. There are also two very memorable paraphernalia from Mahaprabhu which were personally given to Gauridas Pandit. This is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakar, that when Mahaprabhu visited Ambika Kalna, he gifted Gauridas Pandit with a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, which Mahaprabhu had personally hand-copied. In those days, as you know, there was no printing press, so everything had to be copied by hand. So Mahaprabhu's personally hand-copied Bhagavad Gita was presented to him, and it is, I believe, still preserved in the temple. He also handed him a paddle or an oar for the boat, because he had crossed the river to come to Ambika Kalna. And he gifted this paddle to Gauridas Pandit and said, use this paddle to enable all the conditioned souls of this world to cross over the ocean of suffering. So he thus blessed Gauridas Pandit in this way. In that temple compound also there is the tamarind tree, which is still there, under which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Gauridas Pandit. And it is here that a very wonderful pastime took place. Gauridas Pandit became so sorrowful at the thought of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu leaving from Ambika Kalna, that he repeatedly begged them to stay on. And Mahaprabhu said, well, all right, but know for certain that myself and Nityananda are present in the neem tree that is there. And Gauridas Pandit understood that Mahaprabhu wished him to carve deities of God Nityananda from that neem tree, and which is exactly what Gauridas Pandit did. Nityananda Prabhu, it is said, was personally present when these deities were being carved. And then they were worshipped. They were installed in the temple and worshipped by Gauridas Pandit. So then when Mahaprabhu was about to leave, and again Gauridas prayed to him to stay on, then Mahaprabhu replied, well, all right, you have a choice. Either the deities, who are non-different from us, they stay here, or we stay here. So which of us should stay and which of us should go? You make the choice. So Gauridas Pandit immediately chose. He said, I would like the deities to leave and I would like you to stay. If it has to be one of you, I would like you personally and Nityananda Prabhu to stay here. And it is said that that is exactly what happened. Now the deities walked away, and then Mahaprabhu and Nityananda actually became the deities. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, also Krishnadas Kaviraj emphasizes that the holy name of the Lord, the deity form of the Lord, and the actual form of the Lord are all non-different from each other. They are of the same Chidananda or spiritual substance. So this point is actually brought to life in this pastime here. And of course later on with the disciple of Gauridas Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya, there was that other wonderful pastime where the deities actually entered into the heart of Hriday Chaitanya, and therefore he was called Hriday Chaitanya. Gauridas Pandit came to Vrindavan, his samadhi is here, and therefore it is said that he passed away from here into the eternal pastimes of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan from this Bhauma Vrindavan. Some years later, after his passing away, it is said in the Bhakti Ratnakar that Janava Mata visited Vrindavan, and she visited the samadhi of Gauridas Pandit. And upon reaching the samadhi of her uncle, who was an eternal associate of the Lord also, she shed torrents of tears, feeling separation from that great soul. So it is on this day, the Shukla Dwadashi of the month of Shravana, that Gauridas Pandit departed back to Goloka Vrindavan to rejoin the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Today is also the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. In the Gauda Ganodesha Deepika it is said, Sri Rupa Manjari Khyata Yasid Vrindavane Pura Sadhya Rupakhya Goswami Bhutva Prakatatam Iyat. That personality who appeared in Vrindavan as Srila Rupa Goswami Vrindavane Pura, he is actually Sri Rupa Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan. As you know, Sri Krishna is served by Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is also served by Krishna. But Srimati Radharani has her own intimate servitors led by the Sakhis. The chief among the Sakhis being Lalita Sakhi. The Sakhis in turn are served by their assistants called Manjaris. And Lalita Sakhi's group of Manjaris is headed by Sri Rupa Manjari. And therefore, Sri Rupa Manjari, who appeared as Rupa Goswami here in Bhauma Leela, is considered the chief among the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And therefore, we are also Rupanugas, because the path of devotion that was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that was actually broadcast by Rupa Goswami is in this mood of the Manjaris of Vrindavan. There is so much to say about Rupa Goswami. We will not talk much about his ancestry or about his stay in Bengal as the minister of the Nawab Hussain Shah. But suffice it to say at this stage that his first meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Ramkeli, which was then the capital of Nawab Hussain Shah, where Rupa Goswami, known as Dabir Khas, was the minister, the home minister. Actually speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri on the pretext of going to Vrindavan. He never went to Vrindavan. He only went up to Kanai Natshala in North Bengal and then returned. His real purpose, internal purpose, was to bless and empower Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami along with their younger brother Anupam. So when Mahaprabhu came to Ramkeli and huge crowds were following him, absorbed in the chanting of the holy names, everyone was very concerned that Nawab Hussain Shah would get envious and would try to harm Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. But anyway, by good fortune, Nawab Hussain Shah was favorably disposed towards Mahaprabhu. In the dead of night, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Anupam, they had not yet got these names, of course, at that time. They approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from a distance offered obeisances. And Mahaprabhu was extremely overjoyed to see them. And he said, "You are my long lost old servants. You are my eternal servants. And now I give you the names Rupa, Sanatan and Anupam." Formerly they were called Dabir Khas Sakar Malik and Sri Vallabh. Of course, even before coming in contact with the Nawab Hussain Shah, Rupa Goswami was known as Amar. And Sanatan Goswami was known as Santosh. After they became ministers of the king, the Nawab, so they were given these Muslim names. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated them as Rupa, Sanatan and Anupam. This was the first meeting. And after this first meeting, Rupa Goswami and his brothers never forgot it. And they always cherished in their hearts the desire to always be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were hankering for that day so that they could leave their service and go to Vrindavan. Because at that time, Mahaprabhu had already instructed them that they should give up everything and associate with him. After Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, he started out for Vrindavan a second time. And this time he happened to pass through Prayag, what is present-day Allahabad. In this time, Rupa Goswami had already left his service. He had distributed his wealth in an exemplary way amongst the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, his family members and so on. He had also kept a large sum of 10,000 gold coins for Sanatan Goswami in case he needed that. So Rupa Goswami and his youngest brother Anupam departed from Ramkeli and they proceeded towards Prayag. Sanatan Goswami remained behind in Ramakeli, biding his time when he could leave the service of the Nawab and join Mahaprabhu. So by great fortune, Rupa Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the second time at Prayag. He participated in the darshan that Mahaprabhu did at Veni Madhav temple and also in the Kirtan. Huge throngs of people participated in the Sankirtan as Mahaprabhu flooded the city of Prayag with Krishna Prem. Never before had the city been flooded even with the waters of the Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. But this time there was a huge flood of Krishna Prem. And thereafter, Rupa Goswami's great fortune was that he was instructed for 10 continuous days at the place called Dashashwamedha Ghat on the science of devotional service. From morning till evening, Mahaprabhu lectured to him and taught him the intricacies of devotional service. And then he gave him 4 instructions. He asked him to go to Vrindavan, and after going to Vrindavan, you come back to Jagannath Puri and be with me for some time, and return to Vrindavan and do these 4 things that I am asking you to do. The first is to identify the holy places that are associated with the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and which have been lost, not known for many years. So find out these places, excavate them for the benefit of the whole world. That was his first instruction to Rupa Goswami. The second instruction was, excavate also and find out the lost deities installed in earlier years, especially by Krishna's descendants like Vajranabh. So many wonderful deities of the Lord are there around in different places in Praja. So again, find them and establish them and make wonderful temples for them and establish a wonderful standard of worship for the deities. His third instruction to Rupa Goswami was that write transcendental literatures in accordance with my teachings to you and extract the essence of all the scriptures and establish that the conclusion is pure devotional service. That was his third instruction. And the fourth instruction was, preach the glories of the holy name and flood all places with Krishna Prem. So at this time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Mahaprabhu not only taught these wonderful lessons to Rupa Goswami, but he personally entered within the heart of Rupa Goswami so that Rupa Goswami could understand, assimilate, absorb these teachings and remember them. So in order to even understand the teachings of the Lord, we actually need the Lord's mercy. And it was because of this exceptional mercy upon Rupa Goswami that he was empowered to not only understand and preach and disseminate the teachings of Mahaprabhu, but he could also understand the heart of Mahaprabhu. When he came to Prayag, or I beg your pardon, to Puri, Mahaprabhu was very happy and gave him a lot of association. And Rupa Goswami would stay in the bhajan kutir of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur had been born in a Muslim family, and out of humility, he would not enter the Jagannath temple, because the Jagannath temple permits till today only those born in Hindu families. So feeling himself very fallen, being very humble, Haridas Thakur would stay at a distant place and just take darshan of the Sudarshan Chakra on top of the Jagannath temple. He would not enter out of respect for the policies of the temple. Similarly, Rupa Goswami, because by contact with a Muslim king, he had got a Muslim name, he had associated so deeply and intimately and accepted service of a Muslim king, he also felt himself very lowly and unqualified to enter the temple of Lord Jagannath. So he also would not. and he stayed there with Haridas Thakur. So both these souls were so exalted, both of them were eternal associates of the Lord, but nevertheless they felt themselves out of their humility so lowly and unqualified. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally visit both of them. So Jagannath came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give them darshan, because they were not able to go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath in the temple. And one time, Mahaprabhu, he saw a verse that was written by Rupa Goswami on a palm leaf and that had been kept on the roof, on the thatched roof of the kutir, bhajan kutir, where they were staying. Mahaprabhu read that verse and became overwhelmed with ecstasy, because this verse was the purport of the verse that was composed by Mahaprabhu and which he would chant in front of the deity on the cart of Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra festival. And this verse expressed Mahaprabhu's mood of Srimati Radharani, wherein Srimati Radharani is praying to Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. From the Dwarka mood back to the Vrindavan mood. So this was Mahaprabhu's mood. And apart from Swarup Damodar Goswami, nobody understood the purport of that verse. So when Mahaprabhu read this, he was so happy that he embraced Rupa Goswami and mildly slapped him and said, "How have you understood my mind?" And Rupa Goswami did not say anything. Mahaprabhu carried that palm leaf back and showed it to Swarup Damodar Goswami, expressing amazement. "Just see how Rupa Goswami has understood the innermost feelings of my heart." And then Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "This is because you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. Therefore he has understood the innermost feelings of your heart." And then Mahaprabhu agreed. He said, "Yes, that is true. I was so much attracted by his humility and his demeanor at Prayag that I personally blessed him that he would become very proficient in the art and science of devotional service. And I blessed him that he would understand these teachings very nicely, and I entered into his heart." One time, when they were sitting together, Mahaprabhu also examined some writings that Srila Rupa Goswami was doing on the palm leaf. And he examined the beautiful handwriting and he said that your handwriting is like rows of pearls. It is so beautiful, so nicely written. Mahaprabhu appreciated his writing and then he studied the verse that Mahaprabhu had written. And there he was glorifying the holy name. And he was describing how there is so much nectar in the holy names that one wishes that one had millions of mouths and millions of ears. Of course, there is so much to describe about this particular verse as such, but Mahaprabhu became extremely happy and he glorified Rupa Goswami and he took the verse back to his associates, Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar and others. And they also examined this verse and said, "We have never before heard such a wonderful glorification of the holy name." And then upon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, Ramananda Rai actually tested Rupa Goswami's poetry. And he asked him many, many technical questions on composition of the poetry and drama and so on. And Rupa Goswami came out with flying colors. And all the devotees were simply absorbed in ecstasy to hear this exchange that took place between the two of them. Mahaprabhu was also overwhelmed with joy. And in this way, he asked all the assembled devotees to bless Rupa Goswami from the bottom of their hearts, that he would become the most wonderful and leading exponent and disseminator of the science of devotional service. Actually, the first time that Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan, in his mind, he had thought that he would write some nice works on the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and Dwarka. When he had first come here, he stayed for a short while. But then he remembered Mahaprabhu's instruction that he had to come back to Puri to meet him. So he set out for Puri again. On the way, his brother Anupam left this world to return to the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Anupam was a pure devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So on the way back, after performing the last rites for his departed brother, he proceeded towards Puri. And on the way, one night, he halted at a place in Orissa called Satyabhamapur. There, he had a very extraordinary dream in which a very, very beautiful lady who appeared like a queen came to him in that dream and said that, "My dear Rupa Goswami, do not make this mistake of writing the pastimes of Krishna in Dwarka and in Vrindavan in one play. Write about me in a separate play." In other words, she wanted Rupa Goswami to separate the Krishna Leela and the Dwarka Leela and to write it in two different plays. Rupa Goswami awoke and understood that this was none other than Satyabhama Devi, who had appeared to him in a dream. Later, as it happened, without provocation in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day, all of a sudden, he told Rupa Goswami, "My dear Rupa, do not take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He never takes one step out of Vrindavan. The Yadukumar of Dwarka and the Nandanandan of Vrindavan are the same one supreme personality of Godhead. That is true. But nevertheless, they are in completely different moods in the two places. So do not write one play about both of them. Rather, write two separate plays." And therefore, Rupa Goswami understood this was a reconfirmation. Whatever Satyabhama Devi had ordered was now reconfirmed. And therefore, he wrote two separate plays, Lalit Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav. And regarding this one play where Krishna is feeling intense separation from Srimati Radharani, and Radharani is also feeling that separation. Much later, when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Braj, and he was given a staying place by the Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami on the banks of Radhakund and Shyamkund, and when Raghunath Das Goswami read this Lalit Madhav, he was so overwhelmed at the feelings of vipralambha or separation that were described in that particular book that he began to continuously cry, and nothing could stop his feeling of great sorrow. And eventually all the devotees became extremely distressed upon seeing this condition of Raghunath Das Goswami. And word came back to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, who were at that time in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami then wrote another work called Dana Keli Komudi, which described the blissful union once again, the meeting of Radha and Krishna. While the earlier work had discussed the separation, which was full of transcendental feelings of separation, of sorrow, in this book, there was wonderful descriptions of how Radharani and Krishna actually met once again. So Rupa Goswami personally went to Radha Kund to meet Raghunath Das Goswami, who was absorbed in deep feelings of sorrowful separation. And he told Raghunath Das by a little trick. He said, "You know, I have written another book. Please read this." And, "Oh, this other book, Lalit Madhav, oh, you see, I have to make some corrections. So why don't you give it back to me? I'll make the corrections and return it to you." So using this trick, he took back that other work and gave Dana Keli Komudi. Naturally, Raghunath Das Goswami read that And then when he saw that Radhar Krishna had met once again, he became overwhelmed with bliss and he forgot all his sorrow. In this way, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis lived here in Vrindavan. When Srila Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan, he was one of the first few of the Vaishnavas from Bengal to come here. Predating him in Vrindavan were devotees like Subuddhu Rai, Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami. Subuddhu Rai had been a great landlord in Bengal, and somehow or other, that pastime is a wonderful pastime narrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we will not discuss. He came here to Vrindavan because he had no other way, because the Nawab Hussain Shah, who had formerly been his servant, actually desecrated his caste by sprinkling water on him. And in those days, the Hindu society was so rigid in its caste system that even if a Muslim shadow fell upon a Hindu, what to speak of water sprinkled by a Muslim fellow to a Hindu, he was considered an outcast and he was to be considered as a Muslim henceforth. So Subuddhi Rai left, he came to Mathura and Vrindavan, and many people told him the only remedy for you is to drink boiling hot ghee and give up your life, so the next life you will become a Hindu. So in desperation he asked Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, just stay in Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna and everything is okay. So Subuddhi Rai did that, and he would serve the Vaishnavas by cooking rice for them, because the devotees from Bengal were not accustomed to the rotis of Vrindavan. They liked to eat rice. So he actually cooked rice for them and served them. And then he would take out to Parikrama all the Bengali Vaishnavas who would come to Vrindavan. So when Rupa Goswami first came to Vrindavan, it was Subuddhi Rai who offered him wonderful hospitality and took him around to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And he also fed him nice prasadam. Also at this time, there was Lokanath Goswami who was staying in Kishori Kund in Khadiravan. And there he had discovered the deity of Radha Vinod, because Krishna had come in the guise of a Brahmin and given him a gift, and he said, this is a gift for you. And actually the deities of Radha Vinod had manifested in this way to Lokanath Goswami. And in great bliss he was serving these deities there. When Rupa Goswami came here, subsequently he was joined by Sanatan Goswami. The two of them invited Lokanath Goswami to come back to Vrindavan and stay with them and hear and chant about Krishna and worship Krishna together. So in this way, the two Goswamis were now joined by Lokanath Goswami. The devotees of Puri and Bengal would greatly miss the association of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Just as Rupa Goswami had spent many months in Puri in the association of Mahaprabhu, similarly Sanatan Goswami also came. When Sanatan Goswami came to Puri, Rupa Goswami had just left 10 days ago. So he stayed there for several days and got the association of Mahaprabhu and the devotees. Finally, both Rupa and Sanatan returned to Vrindavan and stayed together. So whenever any devotee from Bengal or Puri would return from Vrindavan, everyone would ask them, have you met Rupa and Sanatan? How are they? How do they live there? How do they chant there? What austerities are they performing there? And then these devotees would inform them, oh, Rupa and Sanatan, what to speak of their glories? They are performing austerities that has never been heard of before. They live under one tree every night. They don't live under the same tree on different nights. They live under one tree one night, another tree another night. They have no fixed home. They are simply wandering here and there in Braja, chanting the glories of the Lord, chanting the holy names. Sometimes they take prasadam at one Brahmin's home. Sometimes they do madhukari. They go here and there to the homes of different Brajabasis, and whatever is offered there, they accept that as prasadam. And all they have as far as their belongings are concerned is one torn quilt, one little kaupen, and a water pot. And they have nothing else to call their home. They sleep on the bare floor in Vrindavan, in Braja. And they hardly ever sleep. For not more than 1.5 hours do they sleep. And sometimes they forget to sleep and they forget to eat. They are extremely busy writing wonderful devotional literatures. They are busy serving their lordships, the deities. In this way, 24 hours a day, they are completely absorbed in the bliss of devotional service. They do not know anything else. And when the devotees in Puri and Bengal would hear these descriptions, they would also glorify Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami as if they had hundreds of mouths. When Rupa Goswami came here, he remembered the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had to find the wonderful deities of the Lord that had been lost for many years. So he decided that he should now search for Govindadev, because he had read in the scriptures that Vajranab, the great grandson of Krishna, had installed this deity in Vrindavan. And somehow or other, because of the ravages of time and especially the invasions of the Muslim kings, this deity had been hidden somewhere. So Rupa Goswami studied the various revealed scriptures. He made so many inquiries from the local residents of this place. And even after a long time, somehow he could not trace out the whereabouts of the Govindadev deity. He became extremely downcast and morose. And in this way he was praying from the bottom of his heart to Krishna that somehow or other, please reveal yourself to me. And then one day when he was sitting there meditating and chanting the holy names of the Lord, a very beautiful boy came to him. And he said that, why are you so morose, my dear Babaji? So Rupa Goswami explained to him. And this young beautiful boy, who is none other than Krishna himself, Govindadev himself, said, well, I can tell you where he is. Not far from here is Gomatila. So on this hill, there is a cow that goes and gives its milk. And the milk is especially there for the deity. So just dig carefully on the top of this hill, Gomatila, and you will find Govindadev there. So Rupa Goswami departed, and later only did he understand that it was Krishna actually who had come. And he fell unconscious, remembering this meeting and thinking about the wonderful mercy of the Lord. So he called some Brajabasis together, and very carefully, after having reached this place and identified that place after looking at the cow, they dug, and lo and behold, they found the deity of Govindadev. And all the Brajabasis became ecstatic upon seeing Govindadev. And Rupa Goswami's name and fame spread everywhere in Braja after this incident. And then Rupa Goswami brought Govindadev back and began to worship him in a very simple way. At that time there was no temple for Govindadev, because Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were living simply under a different tree each night. They had no fixed place even for Govindadev. So they would carry Govindadev around. It was only much later, after Raghunath Das Goswami came here and had stayed here for many years, that one of the disciples of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was Raja Man Singh, one of the Rajput kings, Vaishnava kings of Jaipur, that he actually, under the order of Raghunath Das Goswami, he built a grand temple for Govindadev. It is said that Man Singh built such a gorgeous temple that it was 7 stories high. And King Aurangzeb, who was in Agra at that time, could see this monument, to see this temple even from Agra. And he became very envious, and his heart filled with hate. And he said, how can a Hindu temple be so gorgeous and so large that one can see from Agra? So he sent his soldiers to destroy the upper stories of the temple. And so today what we see, the sandstone temple, the red sandstone temple, is just a fraction of what it was in the days when Raja Man Singh actually built the temple. Rupa Goswami around the same time also had another dream in which a very beautiful young lady, Vrinda Devi, appeared to him in a dream and said that go on the banks of Radha Kund and you will find me there. I would like you to worship me. So understanding this to be Vrinda Devi, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani and who is the transcendental organizer of the various pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and which is why this land is named after her, Vrindavan, he immediately went there on the banks of Radha Kund and he found her there. And again he installed her deity next to Govinda Dev. In this way, Rupa Goswami was spending his time. Also, he was at this time joined by Kashishwar, because Kashishwar had been instructed by Mahaprabhu that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, my dear devotees, are in Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami is worshipping Govinda, because Mahaprabhu had just received the wonderful news that Govinda Dev had been discovered and worship of Govinda Dev had begun. So he told Kashishwar Pandit, who was actually a servant of his guru Ishwar Puri, that now you go to Vrindavan and assist Rupa Goswami in worshipping Govinda Dev. And at this time he gave Kashishwar Pandit a very very wonderful deity of himself, which was half Gauranga and half Govinda. And he said, this deity is called Gaur Govinda. So take and worship and take this deity with you to Vrindavan. So you will never feel separation from me. This was because Kashishwar Pandit was feeling very reluctant to move from there. So then, being satisfied with this gift of Gaur Govinda, Kashishwar Pandit also came to Vrindavan. So now, there was Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Kashishwar Pandit. And then gradually after this, one by one, all the other Goswamis came in order. Then came Gopal Bhatt Goswami, then Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, then Raghunath Das Goswami, and finally Jiva Goswami. In this way, all the six Goswamis, they lived in Vrindavan under the leadership of Srila Rupa Goswami. All the other Goswamis, except Sanatan Goswami, of course, who was elder to Rupa Goswami, they served under Rupa Goswami, they even served him. Gopal Bhatt Goswami, or Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, beg your pardon, would often cook for Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami also would serve in many, many menial ways. And it is only for Rupa Goswami's pleasure that he had the Govinda Dev temple constructed. Jiva Goswami, although such a great scholar, was engaged by Rupa Goswami in very, very menial services like cleaning the floor, sweeping the floor, in washing the pots, in doing ordinary work. And Jiva Goswami happily did these services. There are many wonderful pastimes that took place here between Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. These may be discussed at another appropriate time. I would just like to take another 5 minutes to narrate some other wonderful pastimes that took place here in connection with Rupa Goswami. One time, when Rupa Goswami was writing his works, Sanatan Goswami happened to come along. And because the Goswami would be constantly exchanging nectar about Krishna Leela, and they would ask each other about what they were writing or composing, Sanatan Goswami asked Rupa Goswami as to what he was currently working on. And Rupa Goswami read out some of those passages in which Rupa Goswami was describing that when Krishna came to the gopis, especially to Radharani, he found that her braids of hair were looking like some black snake. And Sanatan Goswami said, "That is not possible. I think you should change this. How can the hair of Srimati Radharani look like a black snake?" So then Sanatan Goswami went to take his bath in a small kund nearby. And as he was entering the kund, he suddenly saw some young Brajabasi ladies who were also taking bath there. And all of a sudden, he saw that on the back of their heads, there were some black snakes. It was actually their hair, the braids of hair. But then he thought that they were snakes. So even in the water, he rushed towards those ladies to warn them. And he shouted at them, "Watch out, look out, there are snakes in your head." And then these Brajabasi ladies looked around, smiled and disappeared in front of his very eyes. And then Sanatan Goswami understood. And he went back to Rupa Goswami and said, "Yes, you are right. The braids of hair of Radharani actually do look like a black snake." Another time, Rupa Goswami was thinking of honoring his elder brother and guru Sanatan Goswami on his appearance day, and he thought he would cook a very nice feast for him. Living as Babaji's and mendicants under different trees, they did not have access to many, many nice ingredients for cooking. So they would eat very simply, and whatever they cooked, they would offer to their deities. But now Rupa Goswami wanted to cook something very opulent for Sanatan Goswami. So he decided that he would cook something nice, but where to get all the ingredients from? So as he was sitting thinking about this, one very small beautiful girl came to him. And she said, "Here is some nice ingredients, and here is some sweet rice, so you can cook." And Rupa Goswami was very astonished, and he said, "Where have you come from?" "So I've come from nearby, so you can use these ingredients to cook." So very happily Rupa Goswami cooked, and there was also the sweet rice which she had given. And he came and offered it to Sanatan Goswami, who was very happy. And when Sanatan Goswami tasted that sweet rice, he experienced unprecedented ecstasy. And he simply started jumping and dancing in ecstasy. He made Rupa Goswami have it also, and then both of them were simply jumping in ecstasy and partaking of that sweet rice. And then Sanatan Goswami said, "This is just pure nectar." And then he wanted to understand how Rupa Goswami had obtained this sweet rice. When Rupa Goswami explained it to him, Sanatan Goswami became a little grave. And he said, "Oh, that was Srimati Radharani personally who came. And you have taken personal service from Srimati Radharani. That is not good at all. We are the maidservants of the maidservants of Srimati Radharani. So how could you accept service from her? This is not good. So I forbid you to cook sweet rice now in future." So then Rupa Goswami became very repentant and agreed to the instruction of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So anyway, in this way, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami spend, along with the other Goswamis, spend their time here completely absorbed in fulfilling the four instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami's Samadhi is there in Radha Damodar Mandir. And therefore, to take inspiration for his monumental mission, Srila Prabhupada decided to stay in Radha Damodar Temple, preparing for his visit to the West. And he actually would look out from his rooms to the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami and to his Bhajan Kutir, and he would gain tremendous inspiration and enthusiasm for his mission to come ahead. And in 1972, Srila Prabhupada called many of his devotees from around the world, and when they came to Vrindavan, he took them to Radha Damodar Temple, and sitting near the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, he actually spoke. He put lectures on Nectar of Devotion, one of the most prominent works, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami wrote many, many works, 16 of which are considered very, very prominent. Like, of course, there is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Lalit Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, Dana Keli Kaumudi, and many, many others like this. We are also familiar with Upadesha Amrita. So Rupa Goswami is the foremost amongst those who have written and established the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we are all Rupanugas because we follow in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami, who is the authorized distributor of the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Sri Rupa Goswami Disappearance Day Festival ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.